I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles, please, and go to Hebrews chapter 13 this evening. Hebrews chapter 13. Part of God's gift to us is the local assembly so that we can be built up in our faith together and pursue Christ together. And the outworking of that is that we are to be paying attention to each other so that we might be able to move in ministry. And we're at the part is we've been working through this on Sunday nights of talking about how we would speak to one another, right? We see a need. We have a heart that sympathizes with that need. If we can alleviate that need, we move to share to do so, but also we need to speak to one another in ways that do that. Last week, we finished off the first three of those with encourage and just remind us of it. I tried to practically put it into a framework that had three parts to it. So it's actually just like, categories within which you can mix and match, right? So here's what I see. That gives me so, right? So you're looking for something that you might encourage them about. The way God works in people's lives, how God is working, how God is using them, how you know God operates. So you're looking for those evidences of God's work and evidences of God's grace. Here's what I see. That gives me, and then it would be the corresponding kind of response, right? I see you enduring in the midst of great difficulty. That gives me hope and courage to press on myself. So thank you. Right? I mean, it could be as simple as that. Or, boy, I saw how God used you in this particular circumstance, and it reminded me of how gracious God is to equip us and use us. Hey, keep on going. Don't let anything stand in the way of you following Christ to use your gifts. Right? It doesn't have to be complicated. It really just takes us slowing down to observe and sort of put this is probably not the best way to say it, but a label on what we're observing and draw the conclusion that, here's what I see, and that gives me, you're drawing the conclusion from it, and then you're trying to push them forward, right? And so I hope we'll learn to be practically encouraging to one another, because we all need it, really all the time, because the scripture says, while it is called today, right, lest any of you be hardened, so we always need it. But clearly there are times when we need it more than others. And the beauty of this is that we don't have the ability to understand the way in which God is operating, right? So the very fact that that person may need what you have to say to them and God put you in the right place and burdened you to say it is God at work, right? A timely word, an appropriate word is actually the grace of God through you to that person. And I'm not asking for hands, but I mean, probably most of us, if not every one of us, could probably say that at some point in our lives, when we needed to hear, in our minds, we needed to hear some word of encouragement, it came to us, and it may have come to us from unexpected circumstances or sources, right? In fact, the unpredictability of it actually probably aids the profoundness of it, right? It came almost out of the side, and we were like, wow, thank you, Lord, because you knew God was at work in that for your good. So I hope we all want to be that kind of instrument, We want to be a conduit of God's grace, and our words can do that, right? They can minister grace to the hearer. I've got you in Hebrews 13. We're going to move really sort of first step our foot into the second category of the speaking, that is to edify or build up one another in the faith. Look at, please, beginning in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. So I'm just going to look at these three verses together, because what they help us see is the importance of God's truth in our lives. Right? And clearly it seems to be, I mean, we've been working through Hebrews on Sunday nights, and I've stressed the challenges that they were facing, the difficulties and discouragement. And so the writer of Hebrews is actually setting for us an example of how we would go about the task, both of encouraging, but also of edifying them. Right? He's been teaching them all the way through the book, giving them God's word in order to build them up so that they might not have, like the language in chapter 12, they might not have weak knees or hands that are falling down. Right? They need truth to hold them up. And here at the end of the book, the writer is trying to anchor them in that. Right? And he does so in verse 7 by having them remember the word that they had received and witnessed. Right? Because look at the language of the text. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. So there's the word received. And considering the result of their conduct or the outcome of their conduct, imitate their faith. So they had not only heard the word from them, they had seen the word. And because he's appealing to what seems to be past influences, right? Remember those who led you. It's not who are leading you. So he's actually at this point having them think about the people who had brought them God's word and the word that they had been taught by them and how that word had been lived out. So think about how you received the word and how you witnessed the word being lived out so that you would continue on. Right, so you wouldn't drift away or fall away from it. Notice he's concerned in verse 9 about the potential threat of this. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teaching. So that gives you an insight into why he's telling them to remember those who led them and spoke to them the word of God, because there's the possibility that they might be carried away by varied and strange teachings. And again, I'm hitting that word because we're talking about how truth is used to build up and stable our lives. Right? They had heard the word of God from them. There's a threat now of varied and strange teachings that he wants them to not be carried away by because they're remembering the word that they had received. Right? The truth they had should be the anchor point for them so that now these things that are coming down the pipeline aren't going to be attractive or alluring to them. And that's clearly a New Testament, a consistent thread of New Testament warning. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that the gift of the church and particularly the teaching offices in the church are supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body, until we all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, right? And then it talks about us being not carried about by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness of deceitful men. So the teaching of God's word is what establishes the stability and maturity of God's people. And here the writer of Hebrews is talking to them about that. Paul says to the Romans in Romans 16 that they're to identify those who are teaching things contrary to the things that they had received that caused dissensions and stumbling. He says, identify them and avoid them. All right, so Paul knew that one of the strategies of the devil would be to have people come in to teach new and novel ideas. Right, that's carried away with strange teachings. There's always somebody out there who's got some new twist on things that is trying to appeal to people who want their ears to be tickled. That's what Paul warns about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Right? Because there's always the equivalent in the human heart of the mindset at Athens. Remember, Paul says to them, like they Luke says about them, they just love to sit around and hear something new. Because we get, unfortunately, we get bored with the same stuff. And we'd like some kind of new twist, some new spin, some new way of looking at it. And the danger is the devil can come in and co-opt that and can undercut the foundations of faith. Right? Because what we need is the truth, right, that we received, and we need to be nourished. Look at in verse 9. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. And that probably reflects the unique new doctrine that's coming up that they're wrestling with there. Probably seems weird to us, but if you remember, this is the book of Hebrews, so it's written to Jewish people. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, ceremonial and sacrificial meals were a part of their worship. There was a regularity to that. And so probably what's being influenced here is some kind of a hybrid way in which someone might be able to avoid the persecution coming upon those who have now said, Christ has fulfilled all of this, and we don't need these. And someone comes along and they're piecing together a new way that's attractive, partly because people love their old rituals, right? We've had folks over the years who have made a profession of faith from highly liturgical, ritualistic backgrounds. And sometimes they have ended up reverting to it because they just don't feel like they've worshiped unless they have those rituals happening because their whole life was formed by them from the time they were a little kid. And can you imagine a Jewish professing believer whose whole life has been controlled by a system that included those things and all of a sudden they're gone, right? The formality is replaced by primarily informality, right? The concept of temple and sacrifice and priesthood is replaced by homes and groups meeting in those homes and mutual edification happening and somebody bringing a word from the Old Testament scriptures, but not having the pedigree of being of the official house and line. Right? I mean, it's a radical cultural change, and they seem to have been potentially susceptible to that. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, don't forget what you received. Don't forget what you witnessed, because what you really need is grace, and grace doesn't come through that. Where does grace come from? It comes from the teaching. Right? And that's why in between the two verses we looked at, 7 and 9, is this statement that we often quote, and we sort of sometimes just pull it out of its context. And in some ways, it's a perfect kind of statement to do that, but we shouldn't miss the context. Right? Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So here's, let's ask this. Why does the writer of Hebrews say this about Jesus? Well, part of the answer is, he just said, remember what you were taught. Right? And recognize you shouldn't be led away from it, carried away by strange, varied teachings. So Christ, and I think what he's meaning here really is the message of Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. I don't think he's making primarily a Christological kind of statement that we should abstract from its context and start to think about the eternal nature of the Son of God. And I want to say it carefully because I don't have time to unpack it, but think about the name he uses, Jesus Christ, right? If you go back to Malachi, he didn't have the name Jesus, right? The name Jesus is connected with his birth. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, because that's his human name. And he didn't have a human nature back on this side in Malachi. He took to himself a human nature in the Gospels, right? So it can't mean Jesus was always the same from eternity past to right now, because that's actually just not true, right? He didn't have a human nature. He took to himself a human nature, right? So what it's really focusing on is what you hear in the word when it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing. I quoted the King James. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. It's the message about Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. Right? The summary of the truth that we have is Jesus Christ. He's the message. And that message never changes. Right? It was the same yesterday when you received it. It's the same today. It will be the same tomorrow. So don't look for some new, strange, varied teaching. Don't think you've got to find some new angle, some hidden thing that was missed by everyone before you. It's the truth that is actually what we need, because the truth is what brings us grace. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian pastors in Acts chapter 20? When he was saying goodbye to them, he said, now we commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and grant you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So what would build them up? The word of God's grace. When Paul says in Ephesians 4 about our speech in 4:29, he says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edification or building up. Same word family as Acts 20:32, which is able to edify you and grant you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So no corrupt communication, only that which is good to the use of building up or edifying according to the need, in order that it may minister grace to the hearer, right? So your words, which will build them up, are words of God's grace, the truth about God's grace, the truth that is found centered in Jesus Christ. So we, if we're going to help each other remain steadfast, like the writer of Hebrews is urging us to do and exemplifying for us, then we too will be teaching one another the word that produces grace in our lives. Right? It's the word that does that. We'll be speaking that truth to one another and helping each other understand it. Whether, and this is, Lord willing, where we'll unpack it a little more as Lord gives us opportunity. But it's again, I think much more simple or much simpler than we are inclined to think. Right? It's simply taking a bit of God's truth and tying it to a bit of life. Right? That's really all it is. If you know God's truth, then you can share that truth with somebody else at the very lowest level of how you'd help them. Right? You're helping them understand what the Bible or know what the Bible says. Right? So you're communicating the content of the scriptures to them. And that's simply you looking at what's going on in life and saying, what does that have in common with what I know is in the Bible? Right? What's the point of connection between those two things? Is it some command from scripture that fits in this? Is it some principle of scripture? Is it some example we see in scripture? But here's what I know of the Bible. And here's what I know of their life. How do I help them see the connection between those two? Right? And that doesn't take a theological degree to do that. Right? Hopefully, if you have been in church and you've heard the Bible all of your life and you've read the Bible all of your life, you know what it says. So you're simply sharing what the Bible says. Right? Sometimes it's actually having to help them understand not just what it says, but what it actually means. And that's where we would do a little bit more of trying to show them what the understanding of it is. And again, most of us can do that, right? And so if you think about it like this, I've been talking about us all being on a pilgrimage, right? The key would be to say, there's probably people behind you that you could help. Right? You might sit back and think, well, like, what am I going to say to this person who, you know, has been saved longer than I've been alive? Well, maybe you should stick to the encouragement at that point, right? You can encourage them. Maybe it's not going to be you're going to sit them down and teach them something, but the reality of it is there are believers around you who are behind you in their knowledge of and understanding of God's word. Partly because of time, but also because I'm not sure this is the best analogy, right? But it's not actually like you're going from kindergarten to first grade to second grade to third grade. In some ways, it's more like we've all taken different electives, right? I can still remember my wife and I got married shortly after we were married, we were expecting a child, and then about 4.5 months into the pregnancy, the baby died. And I honestly, the most profound effect on me was actually by a member of this church who had experienced miscarriages in their marriage. Right? They actually had, and I'm putting in air quotes, they had taken the elective of walking through that experience and trying to understand what God says about it and how to respond. And all of a sudden, in God's providence, he enrolled me in that class. And you know who could teach me? Right? I think it'd be fair to say, because I was a seminary student and I'd already been a Bible major, probably if we sat down and did a quiz about knowing the Bible, I might have been able to pass a lot more of the tests than him. But you know what he had that I didn't have? He had the crucible and furnace of experience of knowing that truth through the fire to be able to speak truth into my life. And you know what? You've got the same thing. You have walked paths that other believers are now walking, and God has taught you things as you've walked down that pathway that you could use to be a help to somebody else. It doesn't have to be in a PowerPoint presentation. It doesn't have to be written out like a dissertation. It has to be, here's the truth that God has taught me from his word, and I just simply want to share it with you. Right? That's what God's done to put us all together. Because we're not all at the same pace. We've not all taken the same classes. And we need the grace that can come through the sharing of what God has taught us to one another. And that's the beauty of what God has done. He's put us together like that so that we can be a help. We can speak the truth to one another in love so that we all grow up into him who is our head, Christ. So let me just encourage you to be thinking, how am I learning God's truth? And where might it be that God puts me in a position where I could speak truth to someone, either sharing information from the word or sharing some truth, understanding about that information that God could use to build them up, to fortify and construct their lives on the sure foundation of God's word.